Good morning. My name is Colin Gingrich, and I'm the pastoral intern at Proclamation. This morning's scripture text is Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to follow along. I'll start by reading the passage and then open us in prayer. Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word teaches us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us, your people, in righteousness. May the Holy Spirit do these things in us through your word so that we would be equipped for every good work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The stay-at-home order has us all feeling stuck. Of course, some of us still go to work. Many of us still go on walks. But the stay-at-home order has us all feeling stuck. I feel it. I'm sure you feel it too. And what does the future hold? We don't really know. This is how we feel in many areas of our lives. We feel stuck in chronic illnesses. We feel stuck in besetting sins. We feel stuck in unresolved conflict. We feel stuck in many areas of our lives. And what does the future hold? We don't really know. This is how God's people felt in Zechariah's day. You may know that I had been preaching through the book of Haggai at Proclamation's evening services. Well, Haggai and Zechariah were co-workers. Together, they spurred on God's people to rebuild the temple. This construction project was the essential life-sustaining work of their day. They finished the temple in 516 BC, and Zechariah 9, our passage, was written sometime later. But Judea is a puny province in the mighty Persian Empire. The people are poor and the economy is bad. Many of the people, think of Ezra and Nehemiah, are still in exile. Life is tough, and the people, God's people, are powerless to change their circumstances. They feel stuck, and the future seems hidden in a dense fog. But God's word surprises us, just like it surprised his people 2,500 years ago. Verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem." A few weeks ago, Becky watched our three nephews and our niece here at our house in Mount Joy. When I came home from work and opened the door, the place erupted. They started running and yelling and squealing. Nothing could contain their excitement. What would cause God's people to rejoice like my nephews and niece? We just said that they feel stuck. We just said that the future seems hidden in a fog. What would cause God's people to shout aloud with joy? Whatever it is, you can be sure that it's the best news that God's people and the world have ever heard. Behold, your king is coming to you. You see, the Lord understands the needs of his people. He lifts up their downcast faces. He clears away the fog and in a glorious moment says, "This is what the future holds. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." People of God, your king is coming to you. He's righteous. He's the legitimate king and he's the obedient king. He has salvation. He comes to save, and he comes as one who receives salvation from the Lord. He's humble. He's gentle and lowly in heart. Friends, this is the king that you and I so desperately need. Our righteousness cannot satisfy God's holiness. We need the obedience of another. We need the good works of another. We need a righteous king. Still, the penalty for our sins must be paid. We need another to satisfy God's wrath. We need another to remove the stain of our sin. We need a humble king who has salvation. The gospel of John says this: "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast, to the Passover, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he rode a donkey. To ride a donkey was not like driving a clunker into the church parking lot. To ride a donkey was like flying into the Harrisburg Airport on Air Force One. It's a royal statement, and the crowds don't miss it. "Hosanna," they cry out. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." But to ride a donkey is also a peaceful statement, and the crowds miss it. You see, Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem on a war horse to beat back the Romans. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, because he was going to die for the sins of his people. As you know, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a Sunday. A few days later, on Thursday, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. During that meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And the very next day, on Good Friday, Jesus was betrayed, tried, and crucified. Friends, Jesus Christ is the righteous king who lived a perfect life in your place. Jesus is the humble king who died a painful death in your place. Jesus is the triumphant king who was raised from the dead in your place. Behold, your king. Now let me ask you this. How does the kingdom of our king advance? How does the kingdom of Jesus Christ advance? Listen to what Jesus told his disciples on Easter Sunday after the resurrection. Jesus said, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. How does the kingdom of God advance? It doesn't advance by powerful militaries or persuasive politics. It doesn't advance by the chariots or war horses or battle bows that Zechariah 9 verse 10 lists. No, the kingdom of God advances as men and women, boys and girls, repent and believe the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. In the song, America the Beautiful, we sing the words, from sea to shining sea. And we give thanks for the gift it is to live in the United States. Friends, the reign and rule of Jesus Christ is not bound by the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. Zechariah 9 verse 10 says, his rule shall be from sea to sea. In other words, his rule shall be everywhere. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is true right now. When the Father of glory raised his Son from the dead, Paul says that God seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus Christ is king right now, and he will be king in the age to come. But we won't see Jesus riding on a donkey in the age to come. Can you guess what he'll be riding? What do you think Jesus will be riding when he returns? The Apostle John records this vision in the book of Revelation. Listen to these words. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ? The good news, the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ is proclaimed to you right now, before it's too late, before Jesus returns on a white horse to judge his enemies. Turn to him and be saved. He is the only king. He is the only savior. Turn to Christ and be saved. But I trust that many of us listening have gladly bowed our knee to Jesus Christ. Still, we feel stuck in our homes. We hope and pray that the pandemic ends soon, but do we really know what the future holds? We feel stuck in chronic illnesses. We hope and pray for healing, but do we really know what the future holds? We feel stuck in besetting sins. We hope and pray for change, but do we know what the future holds? We feel stuck in unresolved conflict. We hope and pray for reconciliation, but do we really know what the future holds? We feel stuck in many, many areas of our lives. We often don't know what the future holds. But we do know this, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our King will return, and it will be well for the people of God. Behold, your King is coming to you. Amen.